Calm Down with Aaron and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome, everybody, to the
Calm
Down
podcast. I'm already in a bad mood.
Okay, well, let's just get right into it. Why are we in a bad mood? Because your Wi-Fi is cutting in and out?
I'm supposed to be working on my anxiety. I'm supposed to be at ease. We are just moved into our new house. And, you know, I told the group that was doing our Wi-Fi I wanted it to be so strong, my face would radiate off, and we're already having difficulties. This is my issue. My doctor says, go to Montana, don't be stressed out, be chill, and I'm fucking stressed out. And you wanna know what doesn't help this situation? Bed sheets. I need to talk to you. How do you do this crap for a living? I'm angry, I'm rattled, it ruined my day today.
Let's break it all down. First of all, your chandelier looks fantastic. So that's the good news. Okay, so we know that's working. Even if the Wi-Fi cuts in and out. You have Wi-Fi issues in Montana and I have Wi-Fi issues in Los Angeles where it should be the easiest place ever to get Wi-Fi. So just we'll take a breather there, grab some olive juice while I answer some questions for you. What's the conundrum with the sheets? The thread count?
So no, it's not the thread count. My girlfriends who did our house,
amazing,
who did a lovely job on the interior design, Ashley Phipps Design, you heard.
Normally I would be offended, but we love Ashley and Sam, so it's totally fine. They're not competition.
We love them. And this would have been a master pain in the ass for you. Honestly, it's better for somebody who works and deals with this club to like understand. So we'll get into that part later. So anywho, they give me a list, like a master list of all the things I need to buy, right? Like the bedding, all that kind of stuff. Carissa, I buy it. I don't know what comes in a set. I'm missing duvets. I order 8 shams. I don't know what a fuck a sham is. Like, what? Like, they tell me to get a standard. A standard what? A standard sham? A standard pillow? I have nothing here that works out. It's a mess. And I get it. It's bougie, stupid-ass problems. But what was a problem was the fact I had so much fucking anxiety doing this today. I looked at Jarrett and I said, you know what the doctor said? Go to Montana and relax. You know what I'm not doing? Relaxing. You know what I can do? Figure out a football field. I can figure out anything about it. I know what's going on. I may not always know what the call is going to be from the official, but I can fucking figure it out. Ah. The shams, the bedding, the duvet cover, the bedding set, the dream set. I got no idea. I don't know how you do this for a living. I'm worked up.
Okay, I'm here to help all your problems. Okay, are you ready for this? Just like when we started covering hockey, we got Hockey for Dummies and then we figured it out. Here's interior design for dummies. A standard pillowcase is just your regular pillowcase. A king pillowcase is bigger. Makes sense. A Euro sham is the square. It's all you need to know. Next time you have an issue like this, please call me. I'm here to lower your anxiety in any capacity, whether it's Wi-Fi, sheets, all of the above. Speaking of bougie, my issue is that I sat for an hour in the nail chair, which is hard for me to sit anywhere and do anything for an hour, and I chipped my nail. Chip Kelly on the right thumb, thumbs down. Now I got to go back. So that's my high-class problem over here. You know what else? You can appreciate this. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Calm Down Podcast. We have an amazing podcast for you. Welcome. You know what? We have a wonderful guest on the show who is probably going to like laugh at all of our nonsense to start this podcast because she deals with real life problems. Nicole Lynn, president of football operations at Clutch Sports. She is a badass in every facet, just as like woman to woman, like what her daily issues are, whether it's bed sheets or Wi-Fi or nails chipping. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen, you can have issues like this and still be good at your job. Are we on? Is this live?
We're on. And the other thing I'm feeling bad for myself. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to go meditate after this because this is not good, but I'm frustrated because I literally said, you know, the only thing I'm good at now is football. That's the only thing I'm good at. I can't put a bed together. I don't know how to order bed sheets.
Oh, that's not
you
cute.
Know, I ask these people if I can have good Wi-Fi. They don't give me good Wi-Fi. Like I don't know what else to do.
I'm gonna interrupt you. You're actually great at a lot of things, including storytelling. Something I've learned from you on this podcast is you're an exceptional storyteller. Like you in sound bites is unbelievable. Like I always told you like how funny you are, but whenever this podcast happens and like Scott, who's our wonderful guy who puts all our socials together, like takes snippets, that snippet of Jarrett last week where you're like, I'm not gonna be sensitive. And then you're like, that's fucking lie. I was peeing my pants. For those of you guys that don't know what I'm talking about, you guys need to go back and listen to last week's episode. It was all the travel stories, which, by the way, thank you to our loyal listeners who gave us a lot of feedback about their own travel stories, which were very funny. All right, girlfriend, since we're going to lower your blood pressure because you're supposed to be relaxing, you're in your happy place that is Montana, give me your high because we'll just count your Wi-Fi issue as a low. What's your high this week? The altitude.
My high is just the altitude. Your hair always looks good here. Jared's hair is on fire. Like, he looks great. We have so many great friends out here and we have such a good group. And we were all together the other night at a barbecue and we were just saying, like, you know, none of us can get together because of our busy schedules in the fall, but this is such a cool time because we can all come together in the summer and it's great. It's just a time. And, you know, everybody comes from different places and different backgrounds and it's really fun. Couple comments on my podcast from the crew.
Oh, yeah.
Couple fans out there. They were like, listening to it sounds like we're just listening to you right here. And I was like, oh boy.
Do you care to share who those people are? Or is it, did we sign NDAs out in Montana at Kellerman?
We have a couple NDAs. I'd never. What am I looking for? What's the word? Violate. Cindy Wagner, big fan. Cindy Wagner, lover. Ashley Phipps Design. Couple others. My low, besides the bed sheets, and I mean, that's just stupid. The flies are insane out here. I got bit by a horse fly. I've been, putting it on the old Calm Down podcast, Instagram. You got to follow it. It's not getting any better. And I had this woman write us on the podcast. I got bit on
Is it actually like a horse fly, like big old monster fly that sits on horses?
They're
like,
huge.
Okay.
And right now it's like a bird. They're birds like buzzing everywhere. The mosquitoes aren't bad. The horse flies are bad. So we took Howie out to the football field out here and was working on my my quarterback skills. And Howie was going after the ball. And all of a sudden, I just felt something on my top of my like foot. And I was like, ow. And I was like, oh, that sucks, mosquito. 3 hours later, this puppy had blown up. And then this is so disgusting. I went to shave my legs. Yellow pus was coming out of the pores, like the hair follicles. Dude. And it's like getting hard and crusty. It's really, really nasty.
Where's Dr. Pimple Popper?
Actually a little better. This is worse. But then people started writing into me on the Calm Down podcast IG saying, if it gets any worse, I would go get a doctor to look at. This is what killed people in the 1800s. You can't, again, Dr. Mars told me I'm supposed to be relaxing.
So far, let's recap. You've been in Montana for less than a week, okay? And we have Wi-Fi issues, the bedding, you've gotten bit by a horsefly, you have malaria and smallpox. This is not going well for you, but at least you're with your friends.
But I'm going to see Darius Rucker tomorrow night. Yeah.
Sexy. So this will end up airing on Thursday. But before that, we have had the 4th of July. So it's Monday right now. I just flew back from Iowa, went and saw Kyle's family for his dad's 70th birthday. You celebrated the America's birthday in Montana. Were there fireworks? What were we doing to celebrate?
No fireworks. We had a place all to ourselves and our friends were there. Great time, great convos. There was a band right next door. That was super fun. We're all kind of dancing around. And the great thing about our group here is there's a ton of little kids. And it was just so funny to see them like running around and being in the mosh pit and stuff like that. It was a time.
When I was at the airport.
I'm hurting a little bit today.
Are you? Good for you. I didn't drink at all. I've really been on this like sober kick, which is very weird for me. I know. And I feel really good. I feel like I want to keep it going for a little while. I don't know. By a little while, I mean like 24 hours more, maybe like 2 days. I don't know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel good. But it was really nice getting on a plane with a connection this morning through Salt Lake, Omaha, drive from South Dakota through Iowa, through Nebraska, fly out of Omaha into Salt Lake City to LAX, got off the plane, went for a run. Now I'm here. Look, I'm not saying I'm a hero. Okay. I'm not. I'm just letting you know what my morning was like. So that's what I've been up to. But today's Monday. So the match between Tom Brady, for those of you that don't know, and Aaron Rodgers, they compete in a golf, they do 9 or 18 holes.
I'd ask Jarrett, but he's sleeping. I think they do 18.
Jarrett's resting because he's been practicing.
He actually went and practiced with Tom. And yeah, it's like 40 minutes away from where we stay out here. And yeah, he said the course is absolutely gorgeous. They're expecting when the match airs on Tuesday for the site of the golf course to actually, fail, like it's going to crash because so many people are going to say, this is so beautiful. Where is this place? So yeah, I'm excited. I'm not going to go. I guess they're being really, really strict about like, you can't follow the guys around. You have to stay in the hospitality area. I'm fine with that. I mean, sorry, I'm following them around. You know, that's what I do for a
living.
So I'm not staying in the hospitality. Yeah, no. So I'm just going to stay here with my girlfriends and watch it.
Ryan, our wonderful
and
producer.
Text you.
Producer just told us that it's 18 holes.
Yeah, it's gorgeous, apparently. Absolutely beautiful.
So yeah, it's so much fun. And then so TNT puts on the production. So Charles, mm-hmm. your good buddy, Barkley, will also be there. What a dream. So that'll be fun. So that's on Thursday, right? Thursday?
No, it's tomorrow.
Wow.
Tuesday.
Let's start over. Let's pick any day but the day it's actually happening. Okay, so it's happening on Tuesday. Can I wager on this? Because you know I'll be more into it if I can. Do we know if that's an option? Fox bet?
You have to be able to wager on this
okay,
thing.
Okay, I'm going to do that. All right, so that's exciting.
What are you going to go with? Who are you going to go with?
I'm going to do a scouting report. I'm going to see what the players look like right up until tee time. That's what I do at the Masters. Okay. And any major tournament. Because guess what? One could pull a hamstring, no, knocking on the table, but something could happen prior to game time. So it's a game time decision. Okay, well, that's exciting. So are we going to be able to turn that frown upside down? Are we going to be able
to
switch your
mood? Yeah, I'm
going
to go get on the treadmill after I talk to you. I'm upset about my Wi-Fi. You know what it is? I found this out about myself. Well, I know this about myself. I don't like when shit doesn't work. I don't have time for it. Like, just get it done. Figure it out. Like, I don't like the Wi-Fi problems. Also, as I told Jarrett, there's another problem with our house I have to discuss with you offline. I'm not good with home things and fixing them. Again, it's not my forte. Like, I don't excel with that. If you need me to talk to you about New Orleans and what's going to be wrong with their offense this year, I got it. In fact, I'll call Sean Payton. We can talk to him. But
see on his honeymoon?
Finding baskets to put my shoes in and like having them look cool and the dimensions and the I don't know how to do it.
Call me. I am here for you.
I know.
I am here for you. Lean on me.
Yeah.
Wait, what was I going to say to you before that? Oh, I have to get this in before we welcome in our guest who's awesome. Full disclosure, we actually interviewed her earlier this week.
She's awesome.
And she's awesome. So I'm not going to try to pretend that like, oh, I'm teasing the interview. No, she's incredible and she's a badass and we talk about a lot of stuff. So I know I tried to pretend at the beginning of this podcast that we haven't talked to her. But you know what? I don't want to lie to the audience. I don't feel like that's creating a good relationship with our audience by lying. Also just got a missed call from Colin Coward and a text message that is hysterical. Anybody out there listen to Colin Coward? I hope so. Because this guy is the funniest texter. But wait, I want to get this in real quick. My ADD is kicking in. We have awesome, awesome listeners on our Calm Down podcast. So thank you guys so much. I know that we go on tangents and sometimes we're annoying. Aaron tells incredible stories, so we're here for all of that. But we have an incredible listener. Her name is Maggie. And she reached out to us and sent us the kindest, sweetest message. So that's my high of the week. I was messaging her yesterday or the day before, and we were talking, and she's going through stuff, and she just is a bright light. And I just want to give a shout out to her. And she's, Aaron, like, you know, the message that she sent, and we just want to let you know that we are thinking of you and we are here for you, like a girlfriend, if you want us to be. But she's my high of the week. And it puts it all in perspective of Wi-Fi and bed sheets and everything. So shout out to Maggie. We love you and appreciate your support. And we're here to give you that in return. This is a community. Yeah. A community. And we're welcoming in Nicole Lynn into our cool group after the break. She is the president of football operations over at Clutch Sports, which is badass. And she does a lot of stuff. So you will enjoy listening
she's
to that.
Awesome.
Aaron is going to go get on the treadmill. It's going to be amazing. And she's going to listen to the Nicole interview. And I am just going to be here when you're done doing that to help you with your pillows and baskets, Dorothy. And your little dog, too. Where's
Let's
Howie?
Let's go, Lightning.
Oh, yeah. Stanley Cup game tonight, girl.
Yew.
Lots of things to be happy about. Okay. Scale of 1 to 10. Are you in a better mood now?
Not yet.
Okay.
I will be. Okay. I have to go sweat. It's the only thing that's going to help me.
All right. Well, I'll be here on the other end if your Wi-Fi works. Whoa. Too soon. Thank you, guys. We love you. As Aaron mentioned, if you don't follow the Calm Down podcast, log on and then follow Aaron's smallpox, diagnosis that she has. I hope it gets better.
So do I. It's so ugly. Malaria. Ugh.
We'll be back with more after this. Calm down, Aaron.
Calm down. Well, I know Aaron and I share our sentiment of enthusiasm for our next guest. We just talked all about how excited we were to talk to her. Nicole Lynn, ladies and gentlemen, is with us, senior agent and president of football operations at Clutch Sports and so many other things. How are you? Thank you for being here with us.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
How does it feel to have somebody ask you before you do a podcast interview or any sort of interview, how do you want to be introduced? Because you wear, like Carissa likes to say, a lot of hats.
I do. Makes me feel like a boss.
Hey!
Bossy, you know.
You are a boss. And the reason why I asked how you wanted to be introduced is because there's a plethora of ways we can introduce you. Became the first Black woman in league history to represent a top three draft pick back in 2019. You have done so many things, Nicole. When I say back in 2019, does that even seem like a long time ago now?
I mean, it feels like yesterday, you know?
Yeah.
I still feel like I can still remember recruiting that specific player and going through the draft. And yeah, I mean, it's also still very surreal.
I love this story. I read this story where you were looking for something to wear. Carissa, I don't know if you saw this. I was mm-hmm. looking up stuff today. And first of all, I die for that because what I'm doing right now is trying to find a tank top for the Hall of Fame game. And you're trying to find an appropriate one. And what you chose was amazing. And you looked hot. And by the way, we shouldn't even care about that. You know what I'm saying? Do you want me to pound my chest right now? But I died that that's what you were trying to do in 2019 for your draft pick. That went third overall, right?
You did. It's so funny. I told my husband, I'm like, one of the biggest challenges in my day-to-day as a sports agent is figuring out what I'm going to wear.
Yeah,
like, I'm
too.
Not kidding. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's everything from like, are my jeans too tight? Red lipstick, is that too sexy? My hair. I mean, this is a daily struggle. And the draft, you know, I liked my dress, but even in the moment when I sat down, I was like, never again. I'm wearing a suit next time. Like, I regretted it immediately. I was like, this is not the freaking Grammys, Nicole. Why are you dressed?
Just for comfort level or what?
I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, I didn't know what else. I Googled like NFL agents, green room, and there's not a lot of pictures. So I was like, okay, I'll do a dress. It's like red carpet event. But even sitting there, I was like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm his girlfriend. Like, ugh, you know, your curls are too cute right now. You took it too far.
Oh my God, I love you.
Well, a couple of things about that. That's bullshit that we even have to think
yes.
about it, to be honest.
Crazy.
The fact that we think like, oh, I can't wear a dress and still might do my job. I mean,
or red lipstick.
Or red lipsticks. Like I sit there sometimes with like a tankless dress or whatever, like a sleeveless dress on Sundays. And it's like, you should act more professional. But then if I wear a suit, then I'm manly. So it's like, well, which one is it? So it's a bunch of bullshit, but you just said something and you were like, it's like you were the girlfriend. Weren't you also accused of being a player's girlfriend when you were in the hotel?
No.
Yes.
I was kicked out of a hotel. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. Like early on in my agent career, I went to visit a player before the game. Like you can see them on Saturday and I will not name the team, but the security guard kicked me out because he thought I was a girlfriend trying to sneak in. Hand to God. I could not believe it. And I'm like, no, I promise. And at this point, I didn't have any big name clients. I'm a nobody. And so he's like, I don't know. I've never heard of you.
Oh my God.
I'm an agent.
It's incredible. I mean, there's so many stories mm-hmm. clearly that you can tell. Bringing it back for a second, Nicole, you not only represent athletes, but entertainment. Can you take us back to the beginning? How did this all start for you? Did you always want to be an agent?
Sure.
You've got an incredible upbringing, specifically your childhood but right now, focusing on when you knew you wanted to do this as a profession.
You know, it's funny because one thing I don't think a lot of people know about me is that I'm not a big football fan. I did not grow up watching football.
Wow.
I'm not a huge sports fan. I like sports. It's fine. But I'm not like diehard. You know, I don't know if I watched football ever growing up. So it was never about the game. I got to college at 18 years old and I met football players that grew up kind of in my hometown. I grew up in what we called the hood and, you know, under the poverty line, really tough circumstances. So these were guys that I like knew really well, but they made it out. They made it out through sports. And then some of those same guys would go to the league and then, you know, stay 2-3 years, which is like the average, and then end up being broke again. And it was just this weird cycle that I couldn't understand. I'm like, wow, you made it out. How are you back? And so it was a goal of how can I help the human? It was never about sports. And you'll see that every person I represent, whether it's, you know, a rapper or an influencer or whatever, it's the same kind of person. It's someone that maybe had circumstances that they couldn't control, or they have this story they're trying to get out, or they need direction or mentorship. It's the same person over and over and over. It's not the sport. It's the human.
Mm.
Wow.
I have 8,000 questions. Okay. So how can I help the human? So, or how, what was your 8,000 questions in my head right now? Come on, Aaron, do your job. What was your first big step? What was the step that it was like, okay, this is how I'm going to help the human? What was it?
Well, obviously I had to become an agent. Yep. And so before doing so, I took a lot of time in learning the game.
Yeah.
Because I didn't grow up loving football. And so my husband's a college coach. We've been married together for like 11 years, but so he helped a lot. You know, we're like young kids, 21, watching film, breaking down film. I knew that I had to be great. And I could not get caught slipping. So step one for me before even recruiting, before doing anything was, can I be the best at this? Because when I'm in meetings, even now, after I've been an agent and been in the business for a while, I still get questioned by players and dads. Do you know the game? Do you know this defense? And so I just made it my mission to never be in a situation where I didn't know something. So I worked on that before I even got certified.
How? Like, how do you work on being great? Like, what do you do? Because I know me, like, I feel like I have to read every little thing that comes my way about the game. And I'm like crazy about it. But what do you do?
I mean, similar. So my first thing was learning the game. Right? I think there's two parts. There's the game and there's the business. So for me, it was like, I need to learn the game. And so I would break it down. Like for a year, I just focused on defense. And my husband was a football player who played corner. And so we would just talk about defense. And it's like, okay, let's talk about DBs for 4 months and breaking down a DB, understanding what players fit in that position and why they're good, not just the game, but the player. And then, like you said, reading books, watching videos. And then I had agents that a couple agents I had met along the way. And so I'd ask them questions, just really any of my free time, football, all in football. Once I learned the game, then I moved to the business. And it's funny because I don't think you have to know the game to be an agent, like really well. I don't think you have to understand the difference between a 4-3 and a 3-4 defense. But when you're a Black woman and you're 26, that's how old I was when I signed my first client, you better know everything. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you better know everything. I didn't get that, you know, freebie card.
Yeah, I think Aaron and I can understand that. I still, to this day, 13 years into this gig, I get asked, do you even like football?
Do you write your own stuff?
Come on, man. Like, I'm like, okay, all right, here we go. Amateur hour for them. But whatever. So we can all share that same sentiment of having to prove ourselves. But like I say, I don't know how you feel, but when people say like, oh, what's it like being a woman in this industry? I feel like being a woman got me through the door because there are less of us that want to do this job or your job, Nicole, but you stay there if you know what you're talking about. And that door closes a lot quicker if you don't know what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
So for you, you know, your story is incredible, from childhood poverty to a Wall Street executive to this incredible sports agent. Can you take us back to the very beginning of how you grew up, as you like to say, in the hood? And what was it about that experience that now gives you that perspective on the other side to help your current clients?
Yeah, I think it's just the way that I grew up. I'm able to relate on a different level than many agents. You know, I have a lot of stories and circumstances from my childhood that most people wouldn't believe if I told them. And funny enough, many of my clients have the same ones. And so I can recognize some of the challenges that a lot of my clients have, whether it's, you know, a family dynamic or, you know, having to send money back to extended family or whatever that may look like. I also, personally, I like to represent players that love the game, right? Really love the game, that will give 150% in anything they do, because that's similar to me, right? When you grow up with nothing, you have a different level of grit. It's like, you can't fail. There's no plan B for me. And I love representing guys that feel the exact same way. There's no plan B. I've got to make it. I'm going to give every single thing that I can.
I love that because we've said this many times. There was no plan B for me. This is what I was going to do. And everybody always said, well, what were you going to do if this didn't work out? And I was like, no, this was going to work out. Like I had no other, you know, choice. So, and not that it was, I didn't have any other mindset. So we talked about the hurdles in terms of what am I wearing? People think you're a girlfriend, the red lipstick debate, which, by the way, guys, side note, why the fuck do we care? Like, who's telling us this stuff? Why do we care so much? Give us some of your biggest hurdles besides obviously what we can relate to along the way that you look back maybe now and go, give me a break.
You know, I wish I could look back on some of them. Some of them are still hurdles today.
I know.
Like one, in order to be a good agent, you've got to have relationships with general managers, right? Yeah. That's who we do deals with. And typically the way you do that is you take them out to drinks at the combine, take them out to dinner. You're up late at night at the bar, a very specific bar that all the agents go to. I can't do a lot of that, right? And so I had to create my own rules. And so I have my own little rules as an agent. It's like, I do coffee. It's always a coffee. It's always at a Starbucks. It's always at certain tables because perception is everything. My peer agents that are men, they don't have to think about that kind of stuff. Even my text messages, my phone calls, it's all got to be really careful. And it sucks. I mean, it's getting a bit easier as I now have a reputation. And I tell women, I'm like, your reputation, build it, make sure it's strong because you want it to precede you, right? You want people to know before you walk in the room who you are and what you're about. And so I think I have finally built that up. But early on, it was tough.
Who helped you, Nicole, along the way? Because you had this amazing quote on your Instagram account just a couple of days ago about look back and help the people that are looking up to you. Because at one point, that was you. And make sure that we don't forget those individuals that want to walk, especially for you as being, whenever you're the first to do something, there's a responsibility that comes with that.
There is.
Who helped you?
I had a mentor. It was actually a man. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a woman because it's not because there wasn't one that wanted to help me, but there's not a lot of options. And the few women can't mentor everybody. That's what I say now that I'm in this role. It's like, oh, there's such a, it feels like a requirement that you have to mentor every woman under you. And that's tough, right? That's a big burden to carry. But it was a man named Ken Sarnoff, who's actually still an agent, really phenomenal agent, was a mentor for me before I got certified up until, you know, even now, if I ever need anything, I still reach out to him. And, you know, I talk about mentorship and sponsors and in my new book. The big thing is adding value. So I still added value to him, right? I had connections to players. And so it was an equal exchange, you know? And so a lot of times people feel like mentors should do it out of the kindness of their heart. We wish that that's how the world worked, but it's not. It's not always like that. And so I made sure to always think, how can I add value to his life so that, you know, and we're way past that now. He'd do anything for me, but early on, he doesn't know me. So what can I do for him?
What was the first moment? I mean, everybody kind of, we were talking to our dads about this for Father's Day. What was the moment that I was like, holy shit, this is happening? I mean, we knew it was going to happen. I think all three of us knew it was going to happen. But like the moment that you're like, it's happening. What was the moment that you're like, it's happening?
You know what's funny? This is a very weird moment. It was like the first time I flew first class. I'm going to keep it real with you.
Yes.
It felt like I like made it. I was like, am I really in first class right now? Like it just felt, there was so much imposter syndrome because I kind of felt like people were looking like, did she get upgraded? And, you know, no, I didn't get upgraded. So I've had big moments being at the NFL draft, being on the red carpet of the ESPYs, but something about flying first class It just really does it for me.
I'm obsessed with the fact that you just said that because two things. The first ever time I my Rockies job, I worked for the Colorado Rockies and I got an itinerary from the station and they sent it to me in my email and I was like, oh my God, I've got a flight itinerary. Like I was so, I mean, this point I was still in 34B, but I was so happy to have a flight itinerary. And the other one was when I didn't have to put my credit card down, but for incidentals, I was like, it's on the company and I didn't have to pay for them. I was so excited. So it's funny how like those little things stand out. But you mentioned your book. First of all, huge congratulations. Yes. I mean, oh my God. I mean, mine's a picture book. Yours is a real book called Agent You, a show up, do the work and succeed on your own terms. I try to live by all of those rules every single day. I love this title. Where did it come from? And how does it encapsulate who you are and what you're doing for your clients?
You know, agent you, being your own agent. You know, I talk about this in the book and I tell the reader, imagine if you had someone like me, someone that is trained to negotiate deals, to advocate for my players, someone doing that for you in your day-to-day life. And then envision now that that person is you. Yeah. And so I try to instill, you know, that level of grit and just confidence into the reader. And you look at the subtitle and that last part, you know, succeed on your own terms. For me, it was so important when I got into this business that I did not blend in, right? That I was able to be successful and comfortable in my own skin, be my own authentic self. There's so many different ways to be successful, and I didn't want to follow kind of the normal trajectory. And so it's important. You know, it's important defining your own definition of success and then achieving it in what makes sense for you.
It's so interesting because Krista knows I write it all down, but I don't blend in. And I think the three of us, obviously, for certain reasons, we don't blend in. But mm-hmm. yet, if we want to have an Oprah moment, we are worried about it as well. Yeah. You know, I mean, I go downstairs when we go to a game 15 minutes early before we're supposed to be down there to beat Joe and Troy. So I'm not late and they don't say, oh, she's probably doing her hair, which they would never mm-hmm. say, by the way. But I just ingrained in my head, I don't want it. I don't let the boys carry my suitcase because you know what? It is heavy because I have 10 outfits in there because I don't know what the weather is going to be or if my bra is going to look right with the top. So you know what? There's a lot in there, but I don't want to hear, oh, she's got a lot of outfits. But it's so funny. Don't blend in. But a lot of times we want to blend in because we don't want to make a ruckus. But like, let's make a second book, Nicole, and fine, we'll contribute it too. Why do we want to blend in but say we don't?
That's so good. Oh my gosh. I mean, that is so good.
I mean, I'm fighting with myself right now.
It's a daily battle. It's like, no, I want to be exactly who I am. You're not going to tell me what to do. And the next thing you know, I'm like, not the red lipstick.
Yeah.
You are.
Right.
So you're right. You're totally right. I don't know. I mean, it's the hard part, I think, with our industry is there's not a lot of people that look like us. And so you're less comfortable because you're the only one there with the heels on or the red lipstick. The more people that look like us, the more women that are in the room, it becomes natural. You know, we can become more comfortable because we're not in the minority.
Or the more times that we just say, you know what? I don't care what you write about me in a newspaper. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just angry with your life right now. Like, what? This is just the way it is. Constance Marini Schwartz, hello, always kind of says with her and Strahan, let's be disruptors. And I kind of love that. To go along with your book, my dad and I were talking today about agents. Don't be afraid if you rep me. We were just talking. My dad was saying, no one is as worried about your career as you are in terms of like, you've got to look out for yourself. And I can't wait to read your book because I feel like you'll probably, you know, representing yourself. Are there some cliff notes that you could give about the things that you talk about representing yourself or maybe some keys for people?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the big things I talk about in the book is how to build out your own brand. You know, I think people attribute brands to influencers or big companies, but I believe every single human is a brand, a lawyer, a doctor, an agent, whatever that may look like, and how to do that. What does that look like? It's deciding the pillars of your brand and making sure that every single thing you do aligns with those pillars. You know, I also talk about in the book, getting comfortable with losing. I lose so much in my agent career. You know, I may every year recruit 30 players and get two. And I had to very early on get comfortable with losing, knowing it's going to happen and learning how to deal with it. Like preparing my mind, it's happening. It's going to happen every year, every time. And so how am I going to bounce back from that? And then, you know, just kind of lastly, and there's a bunch of other topics in the book, but the imposter syndrome, I mean, it is just so tough. I deal with it every single day. Still to this day, no matter the level of success that I have, there's still this little voice in the back of my head that's like, are you really good enough? You know, are they going to respect you? I mean, it's sad. And so just how to overcome that imposter syndrome.
Maybe that's good though, that you still have that because it keeps making you want to work harder. I know that I feel a little bit of that. And I'm like, no, that's the part of you that's still that Brady mentality. Like, hey, I got two more fingers without rings on them. I'm going to go ahead and get those because I want every, you know, I think that there's some motivation in that. But Nicole, I know that Aaron and I get asked this question. You want a completely different level and a completely different position. How does someone get started? If they want to be the next Nicole Lynn, how do they start?
I think choose a sport, number one. So if you're going to be an agent, you want to specialize in a sport, at least at the beginning. You don't see a lot of agents that are doing multiple sports. So get all in with one sport. If you want to be an NFL agent, you got to have a postgraduate degree. Figure out what that's going to be. You have to have that. So it's a master's or it's a law degree. Make that decision early on. Then you have to sit for the agent exam. It's only offered once a year. Don't miss the deadline. I think the deadline's like in January, but the test isn't until July. Don't miss the deadline. Find players, right? Find players that you believe in that other agents don't see. D3 players, D2 players, somebody that can make a team that maybe a big time agent has missed out on, and build your clientele that way. Slow build. I mean, I had so many undrafted guys in the beginning of my career, and that's okay. You know, every guy you rep is not a first rounder. So that's kind of the first steps. And then build out your brand, make connections. If you're a junior agent, make connections with scouts. Don't worry about GMs. Those scouts eventually will be general managers. Make authentic connections with people that are at your level in the sport and then grow together. Now I'm at the point where I've got people, they're becoming directors and general managers that they were low-level scouts when I started.
I was just thinking of, I mean, this is probably horrible to say because this is the industry we work in, but I was like, if I'm a mom right now and I'm sitting with you, I'm obsessed with Nick Saban, even though I went to the University of Florida, and I'm looking at a note he wrote me, fine, humble brag, you know, that he wrote me. And I was thinking about when he goes into living rooms and charming mamas and daddies and all that and being like, come raise my kid, even though I'm going to give him my firstborn whenever that may happen. If I'm a mom and you're sitting in our living room, I'm like, take my child, because there are so many slimy agents. I'll just say it. No, I mean, why am I thinking of Jerry Maguire? But like, if I'm a mom, I'm giving you my kid. I'm like, no, that's how you're signing. Like, I'm dying to know what the moms are saying when you're in there.
I mean, moms are very, I think moms, I think women generally, like moms, sisters, aunts, so many of them have given me a seat at the table on behalf of their son or their brother, that where maybe I wouldn't have. And so moms are amazing, but it's more than them just connecting with me, but giving me a shot. You know, I tell aunts all the time, I'm like, oh, thank you for even thinking of me. Mm. And so, yeah, I connect great with moms. I'm amazing with moms. If you're listening, you're a mom. Phenomenal with moms. Yeah. Clearly.
They're probably like, I want you to take him, my son. And I say this lovingly because my husband is an agent, so I can say this. Yes. Sometimes you don't want to send your young child off with a grown man because who knows what they're getting into. So they want your supervision as a strong woman. Again, I say this because my husband's an agent. It takes a strong individual to be on the other side of us. Jarrett, Aaron's husband's a very strong man. Your husband has to be a strong man because I know that phone has some phone numbers in there that any other man would be very intimidated of. How does that dynamic work in your household?
And how do you make it work?
Yeah, tell us.
What is the secret? No. So my husband's in sports. He's a college coach, college football coach. And so we've done sports together forever. You know, people always say, like, what's the biggest piece of advice you can give me? If I could pick one piece of advice, it's marry the right person. Mm. I would not be where I am at all without my husband. Mm. And it's not just about, you know, support, but it's understanding the industry. Mm. You talk about phone numbers, forget that. Dinners with multimillionaire men.
Yep.
Forget a phone number.
We hear you.
And so it's just like someone that's confident, but someone that gets it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not as successful if I married the engineer or the accountant. And so I got lucky and we got married very early on before I ever had a client. You know, he taught me everything I know about football. So I owe him my life.
Mm. What's the best?
He's very critical. Like, don't let me get anything wrong.
Yeah.
Yes, chill. I didn't play. There's only so much I can know.
What's the best piece of advice maybe he's given you, not only as your husband, but obviously somebody with a sports background?
I mean, one thing he'll always tell me is like, not to talk about things I don't know. So sometimes early on, I would try to like throw out certain terms because it sounded like I knew football more before I really knew. And he's like, stop doing that. You're going to get He's like, don't throw out terms you don't know. Say the normal, you know, if you're talking about cornerback, say corner. You don't have to say bump and run corners to try to sound cool. If you don't know what bump and run is, then don't say it. So he would always get on to me. And I remember early on, I'd be like, what can I text this guy to like show him I know? Give me some like one-liners. And he's like, no, because if you get caught in the meeting, you don't know what you're talking about. Now I know. But early on, I didn't.
Oh, that's so funny.
Actually, notes and I'd be reading. Okay, got it. Okay, done.
That's amazing. I actually remember when girlfriends used to be on dates and they're like, text me some fun facts about like sports so I can sound cooler. And I'm like, okay, the big three. And at the time I was talking about the Celtics big three. And then she said LeBron. I'm like, no, that's a different big three. What are we? There's two sets. Anyways.
Because I didn't grow up in, you know, the sports household. There's a lot of women, men that had the family that watched every Sunday and you knew it your whole life. That was not me.
Yeah.
So I was learning from scratch.
If you could go back and tell Nicole the, you know, you're getting your law degree, the younger mid-20s, Nicole, I mean, you signed your first client when you were mid-20s. So let's go back even further because you're the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Let's say 21-year-old Nicole, what are you telling yourself?
That there's a difference between hard work and overworking yourself, like working hard and overwork. And I, for so many years, conflated that. You know, I appreciate that I'm a hard worker, but I think that there were boundaries that I should have been better at.
Like, and why? So
yeah.
You know, I mean, like, just self-care generally. I know that that's like the hot topic, but for me, It was completely non-existent. You know, I worked two jobs for 6 years. So I was a full-time civil litigator at the number three size law firm in the world up until 6 weeks ago, while also being an NFL agent. Those jobs never, they were never the same thing. They did, had nothing to do with each other. Mm-hmm. One's like securities fraud litigation and the NFL agent. And I did that forever, you know, and it was terrible. It took a toll on my health, my mental health. Like, I remember literally almost having like a nervous breakdown and being like, I am not, like, why am I doing this? And so I wish I could have early on been like, I'm going to protect my peace. I'm going to protect myself. You know, I just give and never thought about me. And I'm like, I'm about to have a breakdown. And then no one's going to have Agent Nicole Lynn.
Are you listening, Erin Andrews, down there?
Well, I was just going to say, I am, because I literally...
That basically, she needed to hear that.
I just had like a breakdown last month, and I've been very vocal about it. And it's because I have overworked myself, but I'm grateful for my life and my job, but I never handled my feelings about things the way I should have. I refused to cry. I've been on a trial stand and broke out in a heat rash because I refused to show it on my face. But yeah, now I'm learning you have to take care of yourself, because if you don't, it's just, you are going to have a nervous breakdown. I'm so glad you realized it at this age that you are, because I know I'm a lot older, but that's amazing. So what are you reading? What are you doing? Who are you meditating to? Tell me everything.
I want the skincare routine.
Yeah.
No,
gorgeous. Teeth whitening.
It's so weird because like I've only been 6 weeks not practicing law, and I'm like, what do I do with my free time right now?
You know,
it's like, I guess I could watch new shows, and I'm reading Michelle Williams' book, Checking In, which happens to do, she's from Destiny's Child.
Yep.
Talks about depression and anxiety and her battle with that. So that's been great. I'm listening to Beyonce because clearly, why wouldn't I? And just moved into a new house. So unpacking and living that life. But I'm trying to figure out, what does a system look like a morning routine? Like, that's my goal. It's like, what does my routine look like? What is something I'm going to do every single day? And I'm not a morning person, but I'm trying to become one. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah. Right. Can I tell you guys something before coffee, what I'm doing now, besides a little shot of olive oil? Cause that's whole part of my healer that I saw.
It?
Yeah. It helps cut down like cholesterol. It's supposed to be great for your insides. Like, obviously, blah, blah, blah. I'll send you a whole thing about it. But my other thing is, whether it's nighttime when I'm trying to calm down or when I'm waking up in the morning, I am trying to do a 10-minute meditation. Yes, I do find myself, you know, sitting there going, is Carissa back from Mexico yet? Crap, what am I packing for Montana? There are times.
Oh, me.
But you have to say to yourself, okay, that needs to leave my thought process now, because this is the time that I have to settle in on the day. I did a happiness one yesterday. I'm going to do a peace one tonight, because you guys, the way the three of us are wired, it's like, holy crap, who's playing today? I've got to catch up on that game last night. How did he do last week in the game? You know, am I supposed to meet him this week for coffee? You know, let's get John Lynch on the line to talk about a new deal. By the way, I hope he's a dream to work with, because he's our former colleague and we love him.
Amazing. Amazing.
The best. We love that. Anyways, guys, meditations. I feel like it's the thing. Not to get all Aaron Rodgers on everyone, but I do think it's the thing.
I need to hear that.
Yeah.
My issue, even with like self-care or meditation, it's like I almost have this guilt. So like if I'm getting a massage or something, I have a guilt of, oh, I'm wasting time. And so honestly, actually in my book, I talk about a concept that I created of just this process of existing, teaching myself to be comfortable with existing, which is pretty much me being able to sit for 5 minutes. And I think Brené Brown calls it white space, and some other people call it time.
How great is she, by the way? Like, literally life-changing. Her TED Talk like changed my entire world. I'm going to send it to you, E. Brené Brown's TED Talk. I mean, she's got a lot of them.
I have.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, back off, guys. I have. Yeah.
Power of vulnerability.
She was meditating while we were watching the TED Talk. We'll switch places next time.
Power of vulnerability. Read that book. So good.
Writing it down.
I could have saved so much money in therapy by that.
The TED Talk is good. I mean, this is the whole TED Talk for 6 hours. It's phenomenal. It's life-changing. So yeah, Brené Brown is everything.
Well, your book is everything.
Yeah.
It is called Agent You. Show up, do the work, and succeed on your own terms. There's so much good stuff that everyone can extrapolate from that. Nicole, thank you. I know Erin has another question before I let you go, but just in summary, for my last question would be this. My father has this expression, those who fail to reach their goals failed to set them. Do you have goals of what you want to do next? And if they're personal, you don't have to share it. But do you have that wish list for yourself the same way that you would for your client to get to this level, to win MVP, to get this endorsement? Do you have your own wish list?
My wish list is to be able to show women that you can have it all. I don't have kids. I've been married for 9 years. That's by choice. And
hell yeah, it's, sister.
It's like one of those things where I haven't seen any, I don't know a single woman agent with kids. They're probably out there, but I don't know any. I don't see what it looks like. And I think I have built this vision in my head that it's not possible. You can't have the family. You can't be the amazing wife and the bomb sports agent and the lawyer. My goal is, how can I have it all? What does that balance look like? And then I want to be able to show the world, show women behind me. If that's what you want, you can do it. So that's my next couple years goal. My immediate goal is to start the keto diet next week.
I'm not mad at that.
I dropped like 20 pounds. So we're working on that.
You can have it all.
Yes, you can.
As long as it's keto.
Yeah.
I want it all. I want it all.
You can have it all. And I love the women that tell you that you can. Candace Nelson's told me that. I feel like I've read from Bobby Brown, you can have it all. The one thing I want to have from you, and it's our final thing before we let you go. We like to do a calm down award where we make our guests give out a calm down award. I think one of our best ones were Kevin Hart just telling everybody to chill out, not take things so serious. Brian Bumgarner telling people on flights to sit the hell down until their row. It was so good. Do you just in general have a calm down award to people or someone you want to give it to?
Oh my gosh. I wish I would have thought about this in advance. The plain one is so good.
So good. Darn. So good.
It's so true. It's so true.
I was on a flight from Mexico the other day, and this woman, she like people are standing in the row. She took down like the compartment and took her suitcase out and had it on somebody's shoulder. And she's like, excuse me. And I'm like, wait till that person moves, you asshole. What are you thinking?
Like, where are you going?
Where the door is closed. Mm-hmm. Where are you going?
I think mine, I mean, it's stupid, but it's like, calm down to the people that speed up to the red light. It's like, you have to stop. So there's no point, including my husband. You don't need to hurry up. There's a red light in front of us. Slow the heck down because you're not going to go any faster than anybody else. Okay.
I actually love you. Just, I was just thinking about that, that the people that like honk because you're not going fast enough, but like there's nowhere to go. There's a red light. That's amazing. It's so good. There are no red lights for you.
No.
You are on a full go until you say stop. You're in control of your life. You've done an incredible job and what an amazing path you have blazed for the women that will come after you. Like I said before, being the first at anything is a huge responsibility and you make it look easy. Thank you so much, Nicole. Make sure you guys get her book, Agent You. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
And she's our new best friend. So there's that.
I was like, this has been the best interview. I have to come back. Like,
please
next year. Do it again.
Let's go on the road together. Let's like bring this on the road and charge people and we'll meditate. Yeah.
Great. I know how my keto diet's going. I'll give you some updates. Next time you see me, I'm going to be very fit.
You already are.
Stop it. You look amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
Calm Down with Erin and Carissa is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.